The servants were content. None had been recently hired, nor had any been recently discharged. They were all well-treated and loyal to the household, particularly to Mrs. Trent. The coach driver was married to the cook, one of the livery men was sleeping with one of the upstairs maids, the other two maids were comely and did not apparently lack for male companionship. They had found lovers among the serving staff of nearby households. The Trent family took an annual seaside holiday during the month of August, but they would not do so this year, for Mr. Trent's business obligations were such that he was required to remain in town the whole of the summer. The family occasionally weekended in the country at the home of Mrs. Trent's parents, but during these outings most of the servants remained in the mansion. At no time, it seemed, were there fewer than 8 people residing in the house. All this information Pierce accumulated slowly and carefully, and often at some risk. Apparently, he adopted various disguises when he talked with servants in pubs and on the street. He must also have loitered in the neighbourhood, observing the patterns of the house, but this was a dangerous practice. He could, of course, hire a number of crows to scout the area for him, but the more people he hired, the more likely it was that rumours of an impending burglary of the Trent mansion would get out. In that case, the already formidable problems of cracking the house would be increased. So he did most of the reconnaissance himself, with some help from Agar. According to his own testimony, by the end of August, Pierce was no further ahead than he had been a month before. "The man afforded no purchase," Pierce said, speaking of Trent. "No vices, no weaknesses, no eccentricities, and a wife straight from the pages of a handbook on dutiful attention to the running of a happy household."